This morning we're starting a short series on the Book of Psalms, which I've entitled The Book of Worship of Ancient Israel. We'll continue that in 2 weeks' time and then probably go on with a few more of them later on in the year. But this morning we're looking at Psalm 27, which is a Psalm of David, Psalm 27. Of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet will I be confident. One thing have I asked the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother, my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The Lord's my shining light. Well, you know, in the past few years, most of us have been on a bit of an emotional roller coaster because of things like lockdowns, the plight of minorities in China and South Africa, wars between Ukraine and Russia, and lately between Israel and Iran. There's also lately been a massive impact on our economy and our super funds by the decisions of an orange-haired person in the United States. Dark clouds seem to be everywhere. But it's not just big events like pandemics or wars or economic upheavals that impact us negatively. There's an African-American spiritual song that says, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. And this isn't a new problem, folks. It's as old as humanity itself. Because we are broken people living in a broken world, we suffer from things like loneliness, anxiety, depression, heartache, pain, uncertainty. Sometimes we feel down. Sometimes we feel let down. Sometimes we feel as if the earth has dropped out from beneath our feet. Sometimes things happen that can get to us so much that we feel we just cannot go on. And sometimes when the pain doesn't seem to end, when your medication no longer seems to work, you just want to cry out with King David and also the psalmist Asaph, how long, O Lord, how long? But when we read a psalm like this, we can see that even in such times, we have a wonderful privilege. A wonderful privilege because we know that we have a faithful God who is present even in the midst of our pain. So this psalm is not just a psalm of confidence and trust in the Lord. It's also about seeking the Lord's presence. It's also about being patient while we wait for God and His will, God's will to unfold. confidence in the Lord, seeking the Lord's presence, waiting on the Lord. These are the three things the psalmist speaks about in Psalm 27. Verses 1 to 3 are about trusting the Lord. Verses 4 to 12 are about seeking the Lord. And the last two verses are about waiting on the Lord. We're going to turn our attention first to what the writer of the psalm tells us about a crucial thing in our lives, trusting the Lord. Now, this is certainly one of the most comforting psalms in the Bible. In the first couple of verses, David rejoices with confidence. He rejoices with courage because he knows who his God is. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we think of God, we often think in terms of light. The Apostle Paul had the same idea. I mean, he literally saw the light, didn't he? And almost right at the beginning of John's Gospel, he speaks about Jesus as follows: "The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it." But the only place in the Old Testament where God is called light, or more specifically, my light, is in this psalm. And for David, the shepherd and soldier, light would have had a very special meaning. He was a shepherd who knew that the light of a fire was important to protect his sheep at night. He was a soldier who knew that his enemies could attack under the cover of darkness. He also knew that there were times when he'd need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But he could take enormous comfort in the fact that even in such darkness, God was his light. It was with God that he could find safety. In the light of God's presence was his security. And even if he had to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, the Lord would be his light, his safety, his security. And friends, we can often come face to face with darkness. It may be the darkness of depression that surrounds us. For some, it might be loneliness. Perhaps for you, it's the darkness of an illness that the doctors may not know how to treat. Maybe the darkness that you have to deal with has to do with one of those dreaded diseases like cancer. Perhaps you've had to face the darkness of having a loved one who is being ravaged by the plague of drugs. What do we do? How do we face that darkness, the darkness that inevitably forms part of our lives? Where do we seek our help? Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we shouldn't make use of medical and other help. But brothers and sisters, true peace, the peace that passes all understanding, can only come by looking to God, by putting our trust in him. Perhaps this morning you're feeling as if you are in a dark shed, perhaps with only a thin sliver of light shining through a crack in the roof. But if you look up at that light and you realize that it comes from the one and only God who created heaven and earth, then what huge comfort and strength can you take from that? Light dispels darkness. It illumines the darkness. Even the darkest of nights or the darkest of caves, darkness flees from light. How much more does darkness flee from Jesus, who is the radiance, the light of God himself? This side of the cross, this side of Calvary, for you and me, the confidence and trust of Psalm 27 starts with Jesus. He's the light that shines brightness into our otherwise darkened lives. He's the light that drives all fear away. He's the one, the only one, in whom we can find the peace that will bring true calmness to our souls. But this confidence, this trust, is only available to those who have Jesus as their Lord. There are some who claim to be Christian, and they know about God, but they do not know him. They name the name of Jesus, but they do not live for him. They are like people who have read up all that they can about an exotic place, but they've never experienced it. And there's a huge difference, isn't there? David didn't just say, God is light. What did he say? God is my light. Jesus is the light of the world. His light will not be vanquished. It will not be overcome. But is he your light? Can you say, Jesus is my light? And how is that lived out in your life? Do you trust in God for everything? Do you trust him with everything? When you are faced with decisions, the easy ones as well as the difficult ones, the big ones, the small ones, do you bring them before God first, trusting in him? When we look at ourselves this morning, is Jesus our light? David goes on to say that God is his salvation and his stronghold. And what an enormous encouragement that would have been to him. Whether he is facing enemies, a war, some sort of palace intrigue, or whatever was on the horizon, he knew he could trust in God because he knew that God rescues his people. He had proof of that throughout the history of Israel. And because he knew that God is their rescue, he is their salvation, David could cry out with jubilation, "Whom shall I fear? I've got God on my side." And friends, you and I can delight resoundingly with that. We can shout resoundingly with David, because this same truth applies to you and me. If God is with us and God is for us, whom then shall we fear? We might not be in a war zone, right? But we are nevertheless in a spiritual war. For Satan hasn't given up. He will not give up chasing after us. We may not have people wanting to break down our front doors and take over our houses, but the believing Christian, and especially the believing Christian who is willing to stand up for Jesus, will face opposition, will in one way or another be targeted by the enemies of God. Be sure of that. But even then, we can relax in the arms of God, for he has given us salvation in Jesus Christ. He is our spiritual refuge in the midst of the earthly storms that howl around us. We can trust him to give us what we need to serve him. We can trust him to bring us home in his good time. And yes, we can trust him even when our bosses or our teachers or our friends or our family members laugh at us because of our beliefs. Even when our governments and our television stations seem to do their best to belittle Christian values. Even when friends or family abandon us. Yes, even then we can say with the Apostle Paul, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And beloved, God is for us. He has shown that in Jesus. He has shown us that by placing faith in Jesus in our hearts. He has shown that by giving us the great Comforter. And he shows us that day by day by day. Every morning, new mercies we see. He is the stronghold of our lives. The place where we are secure. The place where we are safe. And he's given us the assurance that he is with us. Always. Even to the end of all time. Jesus himself said that, didn't he? The outflow of David's trust and confidence in the Lord is seen in verses 4 to 12 in how he seeks the Lord's presence. Those verses give us a vivid picture of his heart's desire, his passion to be in the presence of the Lord. They show us how David passionately and with single-mindedness turns to God in prayer. His confidence in God is rooted in God's presence. Not only God's presence among his people in general, but also God's presence with him in particular. Spending time with God is David's true desire. He wants to be with him. He seeks God's face, which means he wants to be in his presence. He wants to seek his will. He wants to speak to him in prayer. He wants to worship him. What does that look like in the life of a Christian today? Friends, the basic principle hasn't changed since the time of David. Those who trust God, who love him, want to spend time with him. They want to worship him. They want to spend time together in worship with fellow believers. They want to live in the presence of God in their daily lives. Perhaps you're wondering if seeking God's presence means you've got to spend the whole week at church. Well, you're more than welcome to do that, of course, for it's a good place to be and a good place to worship God, but that's not what this is about. Seeking God's presence means wanting to spend more time with him, with his word, with his people, and doing his work. Would it be true for us to say that we see God's presence if we do not spend time with him? Not only here on a Sunday, but every day? Can we really say that we seek his presence if we do not spend time reading his word, studying it, sharing it with our children? Do we truly seek his presence if he isn't part of our daily life, our routine? Do we only give him that time that is left in our busy schedules instead of making time for him before anything else? Can we say that we truly seek his presence if we live unforgiving lives? Do we seek his presence if we're not willing to share the great news of the cross with others? Do we really seek his presence if we don't bring big things, small things, all things to him in prayer? Beloved in the Lord Jesus, may it be the desire of our hearts to spend time with God in worship, in prayer, in service, and with all of our lives. May we sing with conviction the words that we sang earlier. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. May that be our desire and our song. In the final two verses, David returns to the theme of confidence and trust. And he also adds an instruction to wait on the Lord. Just listen to how his confidence oozes from verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now let me just clarify what this land of the living is that David refers to. Is he speaking about our earthly life or the afterlife when all God's people shall live forever? The short answer to this is yes, for we really need to think about both of those aspects. David was confident that he would see God's goodness on display, even if his enemies are beating down his door, even if war was looming, even if people were after him, he could trust in God, even to death. For you see, David knew that God is the great I am. He knew that God would always be there, always present, even if the enemies overrun you. God would always be there, even if there's pain or joy, suffering or relief. But yet there's more, for even the better news is that God's goodness stretches way beyond the land of the living into what is yet to come. What blessed comfort, what blessed assurance it is to know that the King of all kings, will always be there. What a sense of security it would have been to David to know that he could trust in the Lord and that the Lord would always be with him. But what about us? What can we take from that? Well, brothers and sisters, looking back from this side of the cross, we can just marvel. We can just marvel at how much God's goodness has already been on display in our lives. Above all, just think of how God's goodness was made visible in the coming of Jesus to die on the cross to cover your sin, my sin. We can rejoice in that. We can sing out psalms of joy, for in Jesus, God's goodness became firmly part of your life and mine. He is our salvation. He is the foundation of our faith, the rock upon which we stand. We have the glad and wonderful assurance that because Jesus lived, we also live and we will live eternally. He will always be with us, not just in this life, not just in the here and now, always, both here and now and in life afterwards. Just as he was here yesterday, just as he is today, he will be here tomorrow. And knowing that, we can start to understand how Paul could say that all things work together for good for those who love God. We can take comfort in that because we know that God is with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can proclaim with joy that whatever our ever-present God's plan for us is, it is perfect. Whatever we face, God's plan for us is perfect. Now, of course, we know that having Jesus as our Savior doesn't mean that life will be all smiles and roses and plain sailing. Sometimes a dark moon will cover over the bright shining sun in our lives. There will be times that are mixed with grief and joy. Sometimes hurt will be mixed in with pleasure. There will be the loss of loved ones, as well as the joy of newborn children. But whatever the things are that may come on our road, we can have confidence in the Almighty God, the Maker of heaven and earth. That's why David can say, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord." And just to be clear, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean just sitting back and waiting. It means trusting in God's provision, whatever that provision may look like. It means placing things before God in prayer and leaving it with him. It means being patient as we wait for God's answer. And that can be difficult for us, can't it? For most of us, patience isn't something that comes easily. All too often, we want to hurry God along. We want him to act according to our schedule. This was the case even in ancient Israel. "Let him be quick," Isaiah writes. "Let him speed his work that we might see it." We've all been there at some stage of our lives. And perhaps that's where some of you are this morning. Perhaps you're waiting for direction in your life, waiting to see how God's plan for you will unfold. Perhaps you're waiting for a positive answer about that job about which you've been praying for so long. Perhaps you're waiting for God to answer your prayer to meet someone with whom you can spend the rest of your life. And perhaps you're not waiting all that patiently. But friends, God isn't constrained by time. He owns time. He doesn't operate on our schedule. To paraphrase a song by the Supremes, "You can't hurry God. No, you just have to wait." And there's a good reason why waiting on the Lord is crucial. Listen to how the prophet Isaiah puts it. "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Yes, waiting on God isn't easy, but it builds our trust in him. It isn't easy, but it shows our dependence on him. It isn't easy, but it renews our strength. It renews our weariness when we entrust things to him and wait on him. It isn't easy, and that's why David tells us to be strong and courageous. Now, if those words sound familiar, it's because those are exactly the same words that God used when he commanded Joshua to take the people into the land of Israel. Be strong, be courageous. They are words of challenge, but also words of encouragement. For you see, waiting on God is the way in which we demonstrate that we are weak, but God is strong. Waiting on God in humble, in humility, or with humble patience is how we live out our faith. By patiently waiting on God, we acknowledge that we need to rely on Him and not on ourselves. Waiting patiently on God shows that we have confidence in the one true God and that we trust in Him. Friends, this psalm is one of confidence and trust in the Lord. It tells us in no uncertain terms that the Lord is our light and our salvation. It reminds us to seek the Lord. It also encourages us to wait on the Lord with courage. It speaks to us on a deeply spiritual level. For in Jesus, God has brought spiritual light into our lives. In Jesus, God has brought deliverance from sin. In Jesus, God has provided a refuge for us against the storms of this life. Now, earlier I quoted some lines from the African-American gospel song that says, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows my sorrow." And just two lines on, that composer puts a whole different slant on it. For it joyfully proclaims, "Glory, hallelujah. Nobody knows my sorrows, nobody knows the troubles I've seen, glory, hallelujah." Despite his troubles, despite his sorrows, the composer does what David also does in Psalm 27. He turns to God. He finds his joy, his peace, his comfort, his strength in the Lord who is his light and salvation. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus, whatever troubles or toils or sorrows we go through, whatever challenges we may face, we have the same assurance. When people ridicule us for our faith, when they let us down, the Lord is our shining light. When we feel that we just cannot go on, the Lord is our shining light. When the black dog of depression haunts us, the Lord is our shining light. When loneliness besets us, the Lord is our shining light. When our pain becomes unbearable, unrelenting, the Lord is our shining light. In all circumstances, may we humbly yet boldly and sincerely cry out, "The Lord is my light, the one who guides me. The Lord is my salvation, the one who delivers me. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, the one in whom I take refuge. The Lord is my God, the one in whom I trust and on whom I will wait." I say this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that you are the light who guides us. Thank you that you are our mighty fortress in whom we can take refuge. Thank you that in Jesus you have rescued us from the eternal consequences of our sin, that you've given us salvation. Lord, please hold us in your loving hands, carry us, protect us, calm our anxieties, heal our pains, give us true peace, the peace that can only come from you. And Father, help us to wait on you with patience and with courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.